you are beautiful. You are so strong. You're amazing. Like,
every day of life is a blank sheet of paper.
More happy days in our life.
Small, small changes.
You had to just be with life.
To really practice mindfulness.
I am not my thought.
It's not easy, but it's very simple.
If you put those two things together, you know, the sky is the limit.
Hello, my beautiful human beings, and welcome back to another delicious and juicy episode of Intuitively Rich, a podcast and a place where we talk about everything life, mind, body, and soul. And today we have a beautiful guest, Linda Bjork, and welcome, Linda, to the show.
Oh, thank you, Annie. I'm so happy to be here.
I love you, love your energy. Okay, my first question for you is, like, if there was this 3 to 4 minute commercial of yours about you, what would it say? What do you want people to know about you?
Oh, the things that matter to me. What things that matter to me is,
it can be about your business. It can be about anything.
So I am a woman of faith. I am an advocate for hope and healing. I am a compassionate humanitarian. I am a gentle and powerful influence for good. And I am a servant leader. This is who I am. And who I am is reflected in what I do. I'm an author. I've written several books to help people to be happy, like Crashed, A Journey Through Depression, You've Got This, An Action Plan to Calm Fear, Anxiety, Worry, and Stress, You Are Good Enough, and I Can Prove It, Pathway to Happiness, 30 Days to a Better Marriage, 30 Days to Alleviate Depression. And most of these books are available to download for free on the Hope for Healing website. And Hope for Healing is the nonprofit charity that I created to help empower people to become their best selves. And we have free ebooks, and we have free audio courses, and we have articles, and we have downloadable resources just to help people to have a joyful, happy life, to improve their happiness, to be able to build their confidence and their self feelings of self-worth, and also to improve their relationships, to be able to manage their stress and to alleviate feelings of depression and anxiety. And like yourself, I'm a podcast host, and I love talking with people from around the world to bring quality content that uplifts and motivates and inspires. So I have a beautiful life.
I love that answer. I have observed, and it is the truth for myself too, that whatever we teach and whatever I teach through my coaching or yoga is that what I needed the most to learn for myself. And was it the same for you too? Like, where in your personal journey, or you were just overall happy person and you decided to share it, or was it any time where you were depressed or you had these hardships in your life, and that's why you have mastered all of this that you just said? I would love you to share more about it.
You nailed it on the head, Annie. So for me, my personal journey, perhaps you're familiar with the Japanese art form called kintsugi, where they take broken pottery and then they reassemble it using this mixture of lacquer and gold dust. And it creates something that is beautiful and unique, and it is stronger than it was before it was broken. It transforms from broken to beautiful. And my story is a story of transformation from broken to beautiful. And there's different kinds of broken. For example, say you're crossing the street and you accidentally drop your cell phone and the screen cracks and you think, oh, dang it, I broke my phone. But you might just keep on using it because it still works. For me, my basic brokenness was feeling like I'm not good enough. I don't matter. In fact, I'm invisible. I felt broken, but I could still live my life. I could still do things. Well, there's another kind of broken. Say you're crossing the street, you accidentally drop your cell phone, and now a truck runs it over. Okay, now we have a different situation. It's not just broken. It is crushed and it no longer functions very well. So for me, being crushed was struggling with debilitating depression and social anxiety. It was as if my comfort zone absolutely collapsed and I did not feel safe, not anywhere and not with anyone. And I could not feel happy regardless of the circumstances. Now, so how did I get crushed? What was that truck that ran me over? Well, we all have challenges and struggles and trials in our lives, and I'm no exception. I've dealt with poverty, and I've dealt with sickness, and I've dealt with trauma. I actually have survived a catastrophic engine failure in a small airplane in flight, where it threw a rod and the plane was shaking so hard, I thought pieces were going to fall off. And we couldn't make it to the runway, so we had to try to find a place to land that we wouldn't die and we wouldn't damage people or property. And that was really scary. I have also arrived at the scene of a motorcycle accident in time to see my son's broken body lying in the middle of an intersection, surrounded by flashing lights and emergency personnel. And Annie, that's an image that I'll never forget. I also once took my teenage daughter in for some outpatient surgery to correct some female issues she was having. It was a simple procedure of cutting and cauterizing. When it was done, the doctor said, just take her home, let her rest. A little bleeding should be normal, but just watch for blood clots and infection. So I brought her home, put her to bed. And then every half hour or so, I would tiptoe to her room and just check on her to see if she was okay and she was sleeping peacefully. Well, after a few hours, I got a text. I'm in the kitchen, she's in her room. And she said, Mom, will you come to my room? I need to show you something. And so I hurried to her room and I said, hey, you're awake. How are you doing? And she didn't answer me with words. Instead, she threw off her covers and she was soaked in blood from her chest all the way down to her feet. And there are not words adequate to describe the panic and the terror that I felt. Also coupled with horrible guilt because I had been checking on her every half hour and I thought she was okay when in reality, she was bleeding to death right under my nose. I've also been awoken in the middle of the night that my 9-month-old grandson had had a seizure and was not expected to make it through the night. He was life-flighted to Primary Children's Hospital where they did emergency surgery to try to relieve the pressure on his brain, followed by another delicate brain surgery to try to preserve his life and to correct the problem. And they were successful in preserving his life, but unfortunately, he sustained brain damage during the ordeal. I also have another beautiful grandchild who was diagnosed with cancer at age 5 months. And so we all have challenges and trials in our lives, and we do the very best we can to be able to handle them and to move forward. But sometimes we are hit with something that is so big or so unexpected or so many things in a row that we become overwhelmed and we don't handle it very well. And when we're in that place, if we're not careful, we can slip into depression. And that is what happened with me. It is as if I had fallen into a deep, dark pit. It was so deep and so dark that happiness and sunlight and hope could not reach me. And there were no windows and there were no doors in this deep, dark place. And I did not see any way out. I thought, well, this is my new reality. From here on out, this is as good as it gets. And the best that I can ever hope for is to be able to endure in misery for the rest of my life. And I stayed in that place for about 5 years, but almost no one knew about it because I was very, very good at hiding it, at masking. I took all the energy that I had left and used it to pretend that everything was okay. About this time, my sister, who was training to become a transformation life coach, she was preparing this woman's retreat, and she had reserved this condo in the mountains, and she was going to invite this group of women and teach them how to be happy and joyful for 3 days and 3 nights. And she had absolutely no idea what was going on with me, but she invited me to come. And when I received her invitation, it made me sick. I thought, there is no way. There is no way that I can handle being around other people, strangers, for day and night, for 3 days, without any means of escape. And besides, it's not going to make any difference anyway, because I am stuck and nothing can help me. But even though I didn't want to go, the idea wouldn't leave my head. And so I gathered all of my courage together and I went. And I'm so glad that I did, because that decision changed my life. It is as if my sister lowered a ladder down into my deep, dark hole, and she showed me a way to climb out. And it was very much a ladder. It was not an elevator. It did not fix me with the press of a button. It was hard and it took time and it took effort, but it worked. I have learned that healing is not like flipping on a light switch where it's instant. It is like a sunrise where the changes come gradually, and the change from moment to moment might be imperceptible, but it does come, and it is beautiful and it is powerful. I have also learned through my experiences that those feelings that I had of being broken and crushed are actually quite common, even among people that might look like they have it all together. And I wrote a book about my experiences called Crushed, A Journey Through Depression. And I have received letters from so many people who have read it and said, I felt like I was reading my own story. I felt like you were in my head. And they felt seen and they felt understood. And it gave them hope that they could heal too. And it's interesting because it's not just people struggling with anxiety and depression. These are all kinds of different people dealing with all kinds of different issues. Because even though our life experiences are very, very different, the feelings, the emotions that we have are very similar and relatable. And that is what Crushed is about. I have opened myself and allowed myself to be vulnerable so that I can help other people, because I want to be someone who offers a ladder to anyone who feels trapped in a dark place. And that's also why I started my nonprofit, which is called Hope for Healing, to share that information, those tools, those ladders to anyone who is willing to listen. I cannot force anybody out of their deep, dark hole, but I can invite and I can lower a ladder.
I love, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and so open. When you were talking and when you said that you were really good at masking your pain, why was it so important for you personally to not show your pain?
I think it was multiple reasons. One is I was kind of in denial that I was in a horrible place because I had been happy before, and I, you know, I'm not someone who needs help. I'm not someone who is weak and falls apart. I'm strong. And so that was it. And I also, because I wasn't in a good place, I didn't want people asking me about it. I didn't want people trying to fix me. I just wanted everybody to leave me alone because I was not in a good place.
And when you said your sister lowered the ladder, was there during that 3 days, any moment, what was the aha moment that then invited you personally to this link? Like, do you remember the specific moment, or was it just like recollection of moments?
I do. So one of the things that was an aha was a conversation that took place before the retreat began. And that is when I was trying to gather my courage to tell my sister, I think I can come. And so I said, I think I can come. And then I admitted to her that I was not in a good place. And that was so brave and so scary. I said, I'm afraid I'm going to fall apart in front of all these people. I don't think I can do it. And she was so kind and gracious. And she said, really? I had no idea that you were struggling. You always look so put together and so on top of things. And then she said, but I understand, because people thought I had it all together when I was miserable inside, but now I am genuinely happy and I love it. And in that small conversation, a couple of key things took place. One, she didn't try to fix me. She invited me and allowed me to make my own choice. Also, she made me feel like I wasn't some outcast or failure because I was having a hard time. She said, I understand how you feel. And I thought, really? I'm not alone? Oh, I felt so alone, so alone. And then when she said that she had felt miserable and that she was now genuinely happy, it was like opening this tiny, tiny glimmer of hope. Because I had felt such blackness, like there is nothing that can ever help me. And that thought just gave me that tiny little opening of maybe, just maybe, she might have something that could help me. And so that was super, super important in for me in beginning, because I think beginning is so, so challenging. To be from a place of darkness, to be to a place of hope. In order to make that journey, you have to have that first step, and it's not easy. I teach that every journey to healing begins with hope, H-O-P-E. And the H is having a hunger for healing or a hunger for happiness. I've found that when we're satisfied with the way that things are, nothing changes. We have to have a desire, but a little bit of desire is not enough. That desire has to reach a tipping point. And the tipping point is when we want to change more than we want to stay the same. And we can tell when we've reached that tipping point because we're willing to do something about it. We can have the things we want, that inner peace, that confidence, that joy, but first we have to have a desire. We have to have a hunger. The next step is O, and O stands for being open. When I was struggling with depression and anxiety, oh, I was tight, 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 like a little armadillo wrapped up in its shell. And they do that to protect themselves. And that is exactly what I was doing. I was trying to protect myself. I was trying to, well, basically I was in survival mode. But we can't heal when we're tight, tight, tight. We have to allow ourselves to open. Again, that for me, that first step of opening was admitting to another person that I was not in a good place. And I had to be open to allowing someone else to teach me and to help me. I had to be open to new ideas. I had to be open to trying new things and to be open to change and healing. Healing requires being open. The third step is P. That stands for positive expectancy. And positive expectancy is when we are expecting a positive outcome. And it is absolutely essential for the success of any type of mental or emotional treatment or program, because we're not going to put any effort into something if we don't think it's going to do any good. But the good news is healing is possible and change is possible. And the E, that fourth step, stands for empowerment. When we're struggling with low self-esteem or low confidence or victim mentality or struggling with anxiety or depression or any of these types of things, we feel powerless. We feel vulnerable, and we have to find a way to get our power back. And I'm not talking about a hierarchical power where I have the power to boss other people around. I'm talking about a personal power where it's the power that I feel comfortable in my own skin. It's the power to be confident and not arrogant. The power that I know I can handle my problems and that everything is going to be okay, even if I don't know what okay looks like. This personal power helps to bring such confidence and joy, and we can experience it regardless of what the circumstances are around us. And so how do we get this power? It comes from a combination of learning and doing. If we just learn something and then don't do anything about it, it's self-help. It's not self-help. It doesn't make a change. It's that learning and doing. It's small, simple action steps. I have learned that if we can change the things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we think, it literally changes the chemistry in our brains and in our bodies. And that's what's required to make that change for depression, because depression is not just snapping out of it. It's not just, oh, I choose now to be happy. I was choosing to be miserable. Now I choose happy. It is chemical, and we have to literally make those chemical changes in our bodies. And of course, that's why we go to doctors and people do medication. But in addition to that, there are things that we can do to change the chemistry and the balance in our bodies. And it is amazing.
Well, you mentioned a few times happiness, and you said before you were happy, and then after so many challenging things happened into your life, you just went down to this spiral and just lost the connection. This is with my own words, lost the connection to yourself. What do you mean by you are being happy? What does being happy or happiness even mean to you?
That's an excellent question. To me, happiness is that feeling of joy, of contentment, of how do you explain? It comes from, I talk to some people who say, you know, what is happiness to you? And they think of the things that are on the outside, like, is it for you, is it a new car? Is it a pretty sunset? Or is it a, you know, a simple pleasure? Like for me, I have a bicycle, a recumbent bicycle, and I love to ride my bike. It brings me joy. And I love simple pleasures. And I love the relationships I have with my family and with my friends. But the interesting thing is, when I was struggling with depression, even though my circumstances outside were the same, there was no joy inside. And so somehow joy is allowing it all the way in. A lot of times we think, you know, I will be happy when this happens. Like, you know, when this circumstance happens, or, you know, I lose 10 pounds, or I get this much money, or whatever, then I will be happy. And the truth is, happiness comes from the inside out. When we are full of joy, then we can notice the beautiful things and experience the beautiful things, and then enjoy them. So it's kind of a complicated answer, but it's...
Do you allow joy into your life when you just lost the touch to the joy? Was it because you were just focused on the negative side of your life? Is it that simple to just like find the joy into your life? You need to just be grateful and see what you have instead of what you don't have. Or it was like your personal challenges were just like an emotional trauma. So often when we get a broken leg, we don't expect it to heal in a day. So is emotional trauma too. I don't know why we deny that, but if someone's heart gets broken, you just need maybe years to heal it, as your bones need to heal it. So what was it for you? You just were not able, you were in so much pain that you weren't able to see the joy, or what was it for you that you lost touch from the joy?
Excellent question. And again, I believe it is complicated, because there were emotional pain and trauma that I allowed to just wash over me and consume me. It was like I was dead inside, absolutely dead and empty. But some of the things that you mentioned about the gratitude are actually some of the tools that can help us come out. Now, depression, for example, these kinds of things, it's, again, it's not just a choice. It is chemical. But when we start to slide down that path, and again, the chemistry, the changes in our body, and it changes in our brain, so that pretty soon, first, I didn't see things to be happy for, and then I couldn't see things to be happy for, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense.
But the idea that you mentioned about gratitude and where our focus is, that is actually one of the steps that I took to help pull me out of that deep, dark place. Some people think of things like gratitude journals and writing three things you're thankful for. And some people think, oh, that's nice. That's nice for happy, smiley people who enjoy that sort of thing. But that's not like a real tool. That's not like real help for people who have real problems in their lives and struggles. But the research shows that gratitude does incredible things. It actually improves the neuroplasticity in our brains, which helps us to become more resilient and literally helps us be able to adapt to change better. It also helps stimulate the prefrontal cortex area, which is where our conscious thought and also our decision-making takes place. So if we're grateful, it helps us to be able to be more in the present, and it helps us be able to make better decisions. And also, some research has been done where they took people who were severely depressed and asked them to do one simple thing. They said, we want you to write down every day three things that you're grateful for in a journal. That's it. After 15 days, they checked with them, and 94% had shown a marked improvement. They had gone from severely depressed to either moderately or mildly depressed. It didn't solve all of their problems immediately, but it made a huge dent in it in just 15 days. Because like you mentioned, if we are grateful, it helps us to be able to shift where that thing is. In our lives, there's good, there's bad, there's ugly, there's beautiful. All of these things are out there. But when we focus, that's all we can see. If I'm seeing only negative, that's all I see. The good things, I can't see them anymore. But if I shift over and notice the good things and make an effort to see the good things, that I notice them. And that makes all the difference. It's incredible.
I love that. And this morning, I'm not practicing gratitude every, not on every point of my life. I'm feeling like this. I fall out of it and then I fall in bed. And this morning I just woke up. I had extreme food poisoning. I have not felt this bad for so long. And I remember I had to like cancel the interview, and I was like laying on the ground in my restroom. And I was so grateful for it, because I'm having this practice of gratitude. I was like, this is weird. I don't know why I'm even grateful for this. And it made me feel so good, because I have this habit of being grateful for my life now. When something like this happened, I was like, I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I don't know why I'm even grateful. And then it came to me, oh my God, my toddler was coming to me and my husband was there. I was like, oh, I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for my toddler. I have so much love. And obviously it didn't take away my pain, but I was like on a soul level, on a physical level, I was still in pain, but inside I was so happy. It was so weird. I just wanted to tell this example, because when you have the habit of being grateful for things, then in those challenging moments, it just comes up naturally. So whatever you just said, like I'm an example that it works, and so many people and so many studies just says that gratitude is so important in life.
It is. That's amazing. Yes. And I'm glad that you look like you're feeling better. I'm so sorry you were sick.
It's okay. That's life. One day we might feel like we might not feel our best, and next day, majority of the days I feel amazing. So it's okay. But the point is, gratitude works from inside.
Example so much, because having these tools and these resources does not guarantee that we're not going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean we're not going to get food poisoning. It doesn't mean that this isn't going to happen or that isn't going to happen. But what it does is it empowers us so that we can work through our challenges. It doesn't prevent them, but it strengthens us so that we can get through them. And that is the magic. And I think we need to recognize that expectation, that it doesn't mean we're never going to have a bad day. It just means that even if we do, we're going to be okay.
That's a perfect, what you just said, I wanted to talk about exactly. Sometimes, I have, life is cyclic, yes? We have the cycles that we feel amazing and we feel like everything is going perfect, and then it's natural. Another cycle comes up and we feel like sometimes that not many things are working in our life, and the tools that you mentioned help us to go through the cycle. And I can feel sometimes I know all these things, but what I know and what I feel are two completely different things. And I can observe myself believing these illusions of the mind that I have these problems in my life, but I feel like that. I truly feel like that. And I think my mind and soul and body just need time to align, and they are just separate. And the thing that helps me personally is hope that I can get there, because I have observed myself throughout my life and I just come out every cycle when I'm feeling amazing. So how this hope is hope a belief? Is hope literally a hope? What can we do when we feel one thing and we know another thing is right? For example, women sometimes like the men who are not for them, and they know it, but they cannot stop themselves. That's what I'm basically talking about. When we know something is true, but we are feeling completely different things, is the hope that will help us? What is that belief? Or is it a habit? Like, if you just can talk more in depth about it, or what you think about that.
I think the things that you're commenting are so important, because that comment, trying to align what we know is good for us and what we actually do, is very challenging. And I think it has to come from usually like scientists or social psychologists, they say it always comes down, if you ask enough whys, why do I do this? Like, why would I choose a man who's bad for me when I know better? Or why would I do this? Or why would I do this? When we get down through all the whys, the bottom layer is, am I lovable? When we peel off the layers, that's the thing that matters. Do I have worth? Do I have value? Am I lovable? And if we can decide that we are lovable, and we are, we have value, we have worth, but somehow we get things twisted up in our mind that because this happened or that happened or something else, or someone said something, we believe things that aren't true. So it has to come from within. And I think when we can answer truthfully, I love myself, I have worth, I have value, then all of a sudden we start to make better choices. Like, for example, with a man, I would say, I love myself, and this man is not making me my best self. I don't need that. And then you make choices that you will pick somebody who will bring you joy and who values you as you are worth.
But how do you feel the love?
Exactly.
Because it's so hard to feel that love. You might say over and over and over again that it might not work.
Because if someone says they love you, but you don't love yourself, then you can't believe that you're worthy of love. Because I have felt like, oh, I'm not worthy of love. Mm-mm, you can't love me. If you're doing something, it's because you're trying to be nice, or you don't know what's really in here. You're believing the mask that I put up. You wouldn't love me if you knew what I really was. And that's where we have to work in to get into the heart and soul of us. So one of the free ebooks that I have on the website, Hope for Healing, is called You Are Good Enough and I Can Prove It, that just kind of walks through that just a little bit, and then gives a couple tools that you can use to start believing that truth that you are lovable, because it matters. It matters what we believe. In fact, what we believe matters more than the truth when it comes to ourselves.
And there is even said that kids don't believe when we tell they are beautiful and they are smart, and we have to teach them to tell it about themselves. So I have used it for my son. I'm like telling him, high five yourself in the mirror. Oh, tell yourself you are so smart. And we say at night, I'm smart, I am handsome. And I have saw that for myself. When I don't feel my best and someone has told me, oh, you look so beautiful, I don't believe them, because I don't feel beautiful at that moment. And when I feel beautiful, I don't care what others tell me, what others say about me, because I feel beautiful inside. That's just a simple example. I loved how you just said, even if so many people love us, if we do not love ourselves, we just don't believe that. That was such an amazing way to put it. What is this feeling of not feeling enough? Where does it come from? Because when we are born, none of the newborns are like, I'm not going to cry because I'm not enough and my mom won't love me. They are just crying when they want to. When they are hungry, they ask for food. We are just born feeling enough and deserving. What happens to us? What is this feeling of not feeling enough, which seems to be the root of all of our pain and suffering?
Isn't that crazy? I think one person put it this way. He said, we are born into a conversation, and the conversation might be what we're saying in our minds. Our conversation might be our parents, our family, our circumstances, but somehow we turn that into a story inside of our mind. And for a lot of times, we have to figure out why we specifically don't feel loved and don't feel lovable. So for me, I had to journal. I had to journal it out. Like, I feel unlovable because, and then I would just write and write and write and write and write and write. And then when I couldn't think of anything else, I'd say, okay, thanks. Let's dig a little deeper and write and write and write and write and write. So for me, it's one of the things that helped me feel, I don't know if help is the right word, that I was not lovable, was something that happened in my childhood that I misinterpreted. I blamed myself. And I thought, oh, okay, well, because this happened, that must mean that I'm not lovable, that I'm not worthy. And then that became my story and my narrative. That was my truth. And whatever else anybody said after that didn't matter, because I just locked that thought into my heart. And so working back and finding that, and then looking at it from the outside, not like remembering it like I was a little kid, but like if I was an adult watching, would I come up with that same conclusion? Would I say, oh, because this happened, that means that you're not lovable? No, it had nothing to do with you. It was just, you were just a child. and you're still lovable and you're still worthy, but it you have to get a little bit outside yourself. They call that meta, when you're able to pull outside and look at it from a bigger perspective. But even just knowing and saying, well, yeah, the things that I told myself weren't true, that wasn't enough to change years and years of habits and beliefs. I still had to go through the process of saying, like you said, where you tell yourself nice things. There's a phenomenon called the mirror exposure effect, where if we hear something over and over, we believe it, even if it's not true. It's kind of weird. It doesn't matter if it's true, but if we hear it over and over, we believe it. So what kinds of things do we tell ourselves inside our minds? Are we constantly saying, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, nobody likes you, you know, these kinds of things. If we say those over and over, we believe them. And that's so sad, because once you believe something, then we subconsciously protect that belief. And if somebody says, oh, you're worthy, you're beautiful, you're talented, then we say, no, we're not. No, I'm not. And it takes a lot of effort to break through that wall. Can be done, but it's hard.
It just takes patience with ourselves. Mm-hmm. How do we understand? I have observed myself through many things. For example, I just needed to observe myself to decide what I do when I really like something. And for example, when I really like something, I buy it in seconds. I don't even need to put it on. I know it's for me. And when I don't like something, I'm thinking about it. So I have observed myself that this is how I work. And this is the way I work, that when I like something, I know it's for me. And if I'm thinking, this is the measure for me. If I'm thinking, I don't need it. How do we understand ourselves better? What would be your advice? Is it journaling? Is it yoga? Is it just a simple awareness? Because if we don't, everyone works differently. Everyone's mind works differently, because as you said, we all have different childhoods. We were all told different things in different ways. Obviously, it leads to the same pain and suffering and same emotional trauma for everyone. But what is the practice of understanding how us as individuals work?
I love that question, because that is really what matters. It doesn't matter if it doesn't apply to me personally, or to you personally, or to him personally, or to her personally. So since I personally don't think that there is a one size fits all answer, again, on the Hope for Healing website, we have several different tools where you can create a tool belt of your own and say, I like this one. Like you might say, yoga, that works for me. And someone else says, oh, I love sitting in silence. I love meditation. That works for me. And someone else says, dancing. When I dance, oh, I feel so good. And so there are so many different things that we can use. And so I look at me, and like you say, you just know it right away, or you have to think about it. Paying attention is brilliant. But we can look at those things and say, oh, I like this one. I don't like that one. I'm willing to try that one. Ooh, I hate that one. But coming up with enough things that work for you personally, that's what I love, is that there's a variety of things that can help us.
Before I ask you, I have a few more questions for you. When you mentioned you need to be open to heal, what do you mean by openness?
Excellent question. Well, I can't really explain it except through, I guess, examples. So for me, like when I was closed tight, 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 and I did not want anyone to see through my mask. I didn't want
anyone. Because it was comfortable, like being on that place, was it comfortable for you, or was it any other reason?
I can't even say the word comfort. It felt like survival. Mm-hmm. It was safe versus not safe. But to admit to my sister, I'm not in a good place. Oh, that was so scary. I had to reveal a little crack in my armor, that I was not perfect and that everything was not okay. And so that involved being a little bit open. Also, when she was teaching me things, there were things that I didn't like hearing very much. Like she talked about how our ideas and our thoughts are like seeds that we plant in our minds. And if we're planting negative thoughts, you know, that's like negative seeds. Like if I plant weed seeds, I'm going to get weeds. And if I'm planting tomato seeds, then I'll get tomatoes. The seed you plant determines the plant that you get. And I thought, oh, I don't like that because I know that I'm putting negative thoughts in my mind. And that means I have to change. And it also means that I'm part of the problem. I didn't like hearing that because it's so much easier when I can blame somebody else and say, well, this circumstance happened and I deserve to be mad and I deserve to be sad. But when it's also, and the things that you're doing are also causing problems, it was like, oh, dang it. That means I have to change. And I don't like that. And so it involved me being open to making some changes and realizing what some of those things were. Sometimes wherever we are, whatever we're doing, there's some kind of benefit to it. Even being in that miserable place, some of the benefits were I didn't have to change. I could blame my circumstances. And I could kind of get away with things of not trying. It's like, I can't do this, so I don't have to do it. And then when you switch it over and say, well, you can do something about it, that's hard. It's challenging.
I love that. That was so eye-opening. You need to change in every problem that we have. We are part of that problem. And that we would deny that we are the part of the, maybe even the majority part of the problem might be coming from us and our reaction to the problem that got presented to our life. I love that. Before I ask you the last question, first of all, I want to acknowledge you and thank you for being part of this, and thank you for being, because it takes courage to say that something was wrong with us and there was this part of your life that you didn't want to share. And thank you for being so open and sharing and vulnerable, and whatever, every word you are saying, you have this peaceful energy, and I can tell you believe whatever you are saying because you have been through all of this, and I believe also, and people listening will believe it too. And it's you, when you are talking, it's very powerful, and you touch the soul. You definitely touched my soul.
Thank you, Annie.
Is there any topic you wanted to talk about, or is there any question you wanted to be asked and I didn't got the chance to do so?
No, I have enjoyed every moment of this. I wouldn't undo a thing.
Well, where can people find you, if you can tell? Because if someone is listening to you, you mentioned your website a few times, but still, if you have Instagram, or if they want to connect and ask you questions, where can people find you? What are you up to? What are some things that are coming up? I just want to know everything about you.
Oh, thank you. Well, the first place I would go is a Hope for Healing website. It is hopeforhealingfoundation.org. And there are so many wonderful resources available there. And they're free. And free means free. There's no obligation. You don't have to buy anything. You don't even have to sign up for a newsletter, whatever. It's just yours. And also, I am also a podcast host like yourself, and my podcast is called Linda's Corner. So lindascornerpodcast.com is my website, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Linda's Corner, or Linda's Corner Podcast, I think it is.
Go and follow her and go and download the free resources, because I'm pretty sure it is valuable. What would be your last, it can be a sentence, it can be a word or invitation for the audience. What would be your last saying for them?
I invite people everywhere to join with me in making the world a better place by working on the only person that you truly have the power to change, and that is yourself.
I love that. Thank you again, Linda, for being the guest in the show. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time.